lights out, we're underway. Motorsport Republic of Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, episode 110, Motorsport Republic of Podcast.
110.
Big morning here for us in Oz. Massive morning of motorsport.
Biggest, I think, I can remember in a long time.
Well, it's very unusual having two of these, and we touched on it last week, two Middle Eastern countries with a race in the same night.
Yeah.
You know, Bahrain and Qatar, we found it later from last pod that they're right next to each other. There's a couple of hours time difference, but right next to each other. So
I think it was the same time difference. It was an hour away from each other.
Yeah, that's true. Because it was, no, the race was 2 hours later, I suppose, because it was one night, one day. It's a good point. But yeah, I mean, it was unusual circumstances. Made it very hard. Very early wake up.
3 a.m. for you, I hear.
3:30, 3:27 a.m. The alarm went off. Don't know why I set that a time.
Did you actually set an alarm?
Yeah. Nah, I did actually. I had 3:30 set and then I woke up at 3:27. How weird is that?
Why so early?
Well, I'll give you the breakdown. Wanted to sit and watch the F1s first. So that took me to about 5:30. Then I chucked MotoGP on.
Yeah.
That took me to about 6:30. And then the final round of the Masters was on as well.
Oh, of course.
Rory McIlroy coming down the stretch and clinching it.
He did it, didn't he?
First time in history for him. So yeah, it's it was in a big morning. And then we all had to go to work, obviously.
Rough.
But we're here and we thank the listeners for putting up with us tonight.
Yeah.
Or tomorrow morning, I should say.
Crazy. Like, so you had MotoGP, Formula One, World Superbikes.
Everything. Gather around for AFL.
Gather around for the footy, the Masters. There's a lot of sport on.
Yeah,
like, it's so much sport, your glasses are fogging up. Yeah, it was unbelievable.
It was the biggest weekend we've had so far this year.
Yeah.
Couple of great races as well. And we'll obviously start with MotoGP a little later on. And then obviously F1 after that. But yeah, a couple of great races. Probably the best F1 race we've had this year.
Yeah, definitely. All the races were amazing and I couldn't even jam them all in. I watched all of MotoGP, Moto3 and Formula 1 this morning.
Yeah.
And I would have fit in Moto2, but then KO sort your shit out because that wasn't working.
Cooked itself.
It was bugging on Moto2. And then I had to watch the rest of Formula 1 driving to work. So I had the phone and the dash.
Unbelievable.
That's a T-Shavs move right there.
I was watching it as well, yeah.
Horrible road. In and out of traffic, watching the Formula 1.
Amazing. Yeah, we've had a good couple of days. We ended up at the Oakley go-kart track yesterday morning.
Yep.
With the FIM.
Yeah, shout out to the FIM Avales Oz Mini Bikes.
Yeah. What a cool event. We were treated to some great racing and to meet everyone down there, especially the young kids, Judd and Cooper and Josh. And there's the stars of the future, and it's a great, you know, grassroots program going on.
Yeah, they're doing amazing. Shout out to like Avale Australia, Foo Sport for backing them as well.
Cheeseburger Maxwell,
and all the boys down there.
Foo Sport boys.
They're doing an excellent job. And it was awesome to see the... potential, and I'm sure, stars of the future in Australia and possibly Grand Prix racing. And we're talking to the guys, and it's great to see, Australia now implementing these great programs to get riders up to speed, you know, and shorten that gap with Europe, you know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the racing was incredible, how fast these little things were.
Yeah.
And then we had, like, the 4 to 6 year old category, and they went out and crazy bikes and...
Flying,
like, faster than we could ever go.
Yeah,
you know?
No fear.
They had an endurance event. It was 10 laps, then you had to swap over, so they had qualifying, and the fastest qualifier teamed up with the slowest qualifier.
Yeah.
And then they had an endurance event, which was hilarious, because, you know... Jumping off the bike after doing 10 laps, running over, go around cones, putting a armband on someone, on the partner. Oh my God, it was hilarious.
And the way you partner up is the fastest qualifier partners with the slowest qualifier.
Yes.
Yeah, how good's that?
Yeah, it was incredible.
It was a really good event. Shout out to all those guys there. Check them out, like Avale Australia, Oz Mini Bikes, Foo Sport. We love our guys at Foo Sport. They're good guys down there.
Yeah, the Foo Sport boys. There's actually a bit of a clique down there. They're called the Bros.
Yeah, they are the Bros.
The Bros. So there's and Joel Kelso's in the Bros. Judd's in the Bros.
Shout out to Tom Bramage, Jack Mahaffey, and Joe Marinello.
Yeah, the boys.
They're the boys.
Yeah, the boys. And then, speaking of local racing, I mean, James, take it away. Special Ed.
Special Ed. So we've actually started, I guess you could say, Tom, a new venture or a new program that we're doing. Republica Riders.
Yep.
So we are looking to sponsor not just one person, but multiple people. And our first one is our boy Eddie Leeson.
Yep.
Shout out to Special Ed.
Jump on his follow him on Instagram. Yeah. He's doing a couple of rounds of ASPK this year.
Yep.
Legend of a bloke. So.
Legend of a bloke. Running around in an R1, absolutely flying.
An OG.
OG.
Republica fan.
Yeah.
And so it's awesome to... connect that as a partnership. So
it's really, really cool. And it's awesome to see, obviously, our logo on his bike.
Yeah.
He did throw it down the road on the first time out with our logo. We're about to mention that.
Any publicity is good publicity.
How dare you hurt our logo, Special Ed.
We messaged you and I was like, don't throw the fairing out. We're like, we'd love to have it.
We'll stick it. We'll stick it in the pod.
Totally cool thing, guys. We love the grassroots. And it's so important. It's so important to have that talent come through. So, if you are interested, jump on board. Send us a message on Instagram. Spoke to the couple of kids yesterday and they're our parents and everyone seems super keen. So,
yeah, really cool. And again,
the best of the best, you know.
Best of the best. We only do best of the best. But shout out to Special Ed. He's definitely an OG fan. Really good guy. Jump on his back. Yep. It definitely helps him out. We love doing it. Helps us out. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, awesome. Awesome. Let's get into it, eh?
Yeah, quickly, shout out to Motorheaven, motorheaven.com.au. Yes. Check out them there with all their motorcycle accessories. Nothing but the best, man.
Guys, and check out Nemean Clothing. We just keep harping on about this product that they've got. And I was talking to some of the guys yesterday about it. You know, just you can put these leggings on, you can put jeans over them, and you can go out on a date and you don't look like you're, you know, a bikie. So it's a really cool thing. So jump on board, Nemean.clothing.
I love it, mate. And subscribe to our Patreon. Jump on board. We do our monthly wrap-ups on all racing there. Might do a few extra specials here and there to give you some more bang for buck as well. And then obviously all our YouTube as well.
Yeah, like, subscribe.
Subs. Very do all much that fun stuff.
There's so much to talk about MotoGP.
Bro, we got a massive episode.
Yeah, I know. So much to talk about. Where do we start?
I don't even know, but let's start with Jorge Martin.
Yeah, so there's some conflicting reports come out that he's got broken ribs, fractured ribs. Some saying 6, some saying 11. Some saying collapsed lung. He's put out a post today. I'm not sure if anyone's seen it, but he's saying it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
So, I don't want to play devil's advocate, but is it really the right track for him to start? To start his back.
Well, it's a flowy track. Like, what's the right track? It's a flowy track. It's flat.
Yeah.
You know, got plenty of runoff. It probably is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think what hurt him, in all honesty, is if you watch the footage, he lands on those real grated ripple strips.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're real harsh.
That's what cooked him. And I'm guessing fatigue played a massive role in the crash.
Definitely. You're 100% right. And... look, before that moment, Jorge Martin had an awesome weekend. You know, you couldn't have asked for more. He qualified one position behind Bezzecchi, Tom.
Yeah, I know. I think that speaks volumes about Bezzecchi, to be honest, and we'll touch on that later. But yeah, it was a good weekend so far.
He did the best.
Fighting for 20th. He probably didn't have to go that hard. He's fighting out of the points. It didn't really matter.
Yeah, but...
What with 5 or 6 laps to go...
For sure.
And they had that yellow flag out for a long time, didn't they? Him on his hands and knees. So
you got to understand, he's basically only ridden that bike for one day.
Well, what they were saying on the telecast was the other riders have had 1,000 or 4,000 more kilometers on the bikes or something. I'm like, it's crazy. Yeah. And to have that fear as well. I mean, I was looking at the TNT broadcast and Neil Hodgson was explaining that his normal riding style is a very bent wrist when he's on a lean angle. And you saw on the weekend it was a straight wrist. So completely had to change his complete riding style to adapt to the conditions and the injury. And to still be like, you know, I mean, he was ahead of Bez at some point in the sprint as well. I mean, it was just incredible. So, it bows a good thing. He came back in after doing some laps under practice. Said the front end's amazing.
Mm.
So that's a good thing. But yeah, I mean, there's some crazy talking points. We'll talk about KDM as well.
Gertie, what do you got?
So Aprilia just put out an update on Jorge Martin.
Oh, beautiful.
regarding rib fractures. 8 fractures affect the posterior costal arches from the 1st to the 8th, and there are 3 fractures observed in the lateral arches from the 7th to the 9th.
Mm. That's where the 11 comes from, I suppose.
He's going to remain under observation in the Hamad International Hospital until the pneumothorax resolves, essentially. They'll update as soon as the news become relevant, but there was, by the looks of it, a collapsed lung as well.
Well.
Yeah. Oh, man, it's just in the wars. He doesn't deserve that.
No, no, it was an awkward crash, and I was thinking back, and I was thinking back and ribs when that happened.
Yeah.
And like he was on all fours, so you could tell the wrist was still intact, but... Yeah, just an awkward injury.
That's the last thing you need. I know. It's the last thing you need. And he was doing good up until then. And I think at one point in the sprint race, he passed Bagnaia.
Yes. Well, what happened in the sprint race is they were saying, if you took Jorge Martin on a Thursday and said, you'll pass Pecco Bagnaia in the sprint, he would have taken that and given you $100,000, you know? So for me, it was a success until... But it probably wasn't that, was it? I mean...
Well, no, what you were about to say is a success until he crashed.
Yeah,
you're right.
And like for me, just inexcusable. Probably should have just taken it home, but it's hard. It's easy to stay here sitting, you know, talking about it on a podcast.
Dude's so beaten up. He hasn't ridden that bike really at all. He's done one day. You don't even count Sepang of those 13 laps.
Yeah. Let me get into results. So,
yeah, go.
Because we're going to talk about the elephant in the room, fraud, Mr. Fraud.
Yeah.
Shortly, so we've had about 15,000 messages about it.
Flooded, absolutely flooded. So Tommy, anyway, I've been looking at getting a new helmet.
Okay, right, you are
a replica helmet.
Okay,
so I'm looking at either like a Marc Marquez, Shoei, Rossi AGV. Or controversially, like a Nakagami Arai. What do you think?
Well, I think Nakagami Arai might be a bad idea because they'd have to build them strong. You know, repeat hits throughout the whole weekend.
That's right.
Where would you find something like that?
Mate, motoheaven.com.au. They have all the helmet brands that you want. They've got all the racing suits, jackets, big brands, HJC, Shoei, Dainese, Alps. Mate, they have everything. How good's that?
That is so good. And I heard like there's free delivery over $150 as well.
Free delivery over $150. Super, super fast dispatch, which is amazing all around the country. They do an excellent job. You just check out their Google reviews. It's like all 5 stars. It's pretty amazing. They do a great job.
Give the people the website.
Motoheaven.com.au. Check them out. They are the best in the business for all your motorcycle needs. And they've got a parts finder. You can get all the parts you want, brake discs, chains, sprockets, spark plugs. I know that's all gobbledygook to you, Tom, but that is the they are the best in the business. Head down to motoheaven.com.au and they will look after you.
I'll start with the sprint race. So Marc Marquez does it again in the sprint.
Yeah.
Number one, Alex Marquez second, Morbidelli third, Ferman Aldeguer fourth, Fabio Quartararo, 5th, had a good weekend. Digia, 6th. Aragura, 7th. Pecco Bagnaia, 8th. Marco Bezzecchi, 9th. And Maverick Vinales, 10th.
Oh, amazing.
And the main race, Marc Marquez, 1st place. Bagnaia gets the 2nd after Vinales gets a 17-second penalty for tyre pressures. We'll get onto that in a sec.
Yeah.
Morbidelli puts it in 3rd again. Had a really good weekend, 2 3rd places. Zarco, 4th. Amazing. Yeah. Aldeguer, 5th. Alex Marquez, 6th. Quartararo, 7th. Pedro Acosta, 8th. Bezzecchi end up in 9th. And Marini, 10th in the Repsol.
So there's just talking points everywhere. Basically, every rider you've just named is a talking point.
Oh, I know. And there's going to be things we'll probably miss this podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, but yeah, let's talk about Vinales. I mean, where the hell did that come from?
Well, look, it's... You got to give him credit. Tire pressure or
100%.
Not. 100%. Tire pressure or not. Like, and, you know, we got a lot of messages and they were just ripping into him. and it was funny. And a lot of the messages were he got penalized because he blocked us, which was really funny. but you got to give him credit. Like, to put it into, like, he was leading the race for a bit. To put it in the second was just a sensational effort.
Yeah. And good for the sport.
Great for the sport. it was what was needed. I just don't know how he did that or what worked in the KDM. So apparently KDM had four different bikes for their four riders.
Yeah, wow.
So that's when you know you're in a world of hurt.
Yeah, there's no direction.
And the direct comparison of Ducati is Marc Marquez jumps on Pecco Bagnaia's bike, tweaks the tiniest little things, and it's now his bike.
Yeah.
You know, whereas realistically, it's very similar. It's very rideable. Where that KDM is so completely different, but... Okay. It was a great ride, and he deserved that second. Mm. He shouldn't have got like the. We all know the tire pressure rule is bullshit.
Yeah.
Every journo says it. Every fan says it. It's just how it is. Now, with that, he got second place. He realistically got second place.
Yeah. And he came out today and said, "Look, I'm going to celebrate it like a win because I haven't had any success obviously since COTA last year, And it's been like, mate, we saw them in the pit lane in Buriram, and they were last.
Bad.
Like, except Chandra, but he doesn't count token Chandra.
Yeah.
But they were like, I saw Vinales get passed by Chandra on the last corner of that Grand Prix. Yeah, I mean, and him shaking his head going up the front straight. I mean, you're seeing it live, you know, like the guy is going, what have I done? You know, and then for him to turn it around, put into second and just be consistently fast through the whole Grand Prix. I mean, great start. He put into fifth, I think, in the lap one, which is the big difference for him.
Yeah.
And then just, I mean, passing these Ducatis. I mean, that was the thing. It was a bullet down the straight.
KDM's got top speed. I think it actually holds the outright top speed record in GP. I think Brad Binder owns it. So.
Yeah. And he, paced out, like, grip out of the corners and looked really good. It's just amazing how you can turn it around from one weekend to another.
Yeah. Look, it doesn't make any sense. And, like, you know, no one's going to be surprised. I really hope this is what is going to happen. But no one should be surprised if Vinales is back to like 12th, 13th, 14th in Jerez. This is a COTA situation, minus the tire pressure rule.
Realistically, there's not really another circuit like Qatar on the...
Phillip Islands is the only other one.
Yeah.
It's fast and flowy.
Because that circuit is just incredible for racing.
Great.
And they pass in spots you didn't think. Like, it looks like a race. When you're watching a race at Qatar, it almost looks like a race from 15 years ago.
Because
you see those little, like, tell Alex Marquez that. But you see those little slides up the inside when you probably couldn't pass there and then sort of hold your line and then you repass on the
next
corner.
Groups of riders.
Yeah, so it is a really good circuit for that.
Yeah.
And threw up another unusual result with Vinales. It always does. So.
It always does.
But
you just can't count your chickens on that. With KDM, they've obviously got this vibration, and no one knows what it is. Like, they don't know if it's the carbon chassis. They've got no idea with this bike, and for whatever reason, that bike performed well. And the thing with Maverick Vinales, and it's the joke, it's the fraud, is Fraud Watch, and it's very funny. And we'll probably run it to the day we die. But if Vinales has his bike, and this is also his kryptonite, but if he has his bike, he has his conditions and he has his track.
Mm.
He's fighting for a win every single time. But unfortunately now, that's maybe once a year and not even.
Mm.
Especially on that KDM, which is a dope.
Yeah, he's just a weird cat with that. And he's been like that in a lot of his career. Like the last 5 years of his career. It's just a one-off or a two great performances a year. And then continues to... I mean, if the only person to ever get four podiums in four different manufacturers, I mean, It's incredible. So,
yeah. So, look, good on him. Honestly, good on him. I take it as a second for him.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens with KDM or a basket case. They're unknown. I've got a lot of points on that.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, it's awesome to see. It's great to see a non-Ducati up there. But let's move on to Jerez and see what's actually going on.
Man, speaking of... Marc Marquez, just an outstanding performance. And he had a few things against him that whole race. Aero issues, getting run up the ass by his brother.
Yep. That's definitely... he was cunning. And talk about just using rider IQ to win that race. Like, he just was so much smarter than everyone. And for example, Franco Morbidelli, what's the one thing that you don't do in Qatar that every rookie does since the dawn of time? They go out in front because Qatar is all about tire conservation. Mm. It's one of those tracks. It's the same as Phillip Island, fast flowy. So they know they have to conserve your tires until three quarters of the race.
Yeah.
And you don't go out in front and you don't burn a 2 second lead on your rear tire. Franco Morbidelli has been racing MotoGP for 5 years. What does he do? He goes and pulls out a 2 second lead.
Yeah, it was a weird one. And then just fell back sharply and then hung on in the end. But yeah, you're so right. He just goes out there. Marquez let him go smartly enough.
Yeah.
Because I was almost thinking at the start, and like, I was like, geez, Marquez, is this rear? Because you know the commentators, yeah, they get you.
Yeah, they hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah, well, they get you going. And you're like, is this aero really affecting? And I'm like, it's probably not affecting that much.
No.
That shit in the back of the bike's more to affect the bike behind him.
Exactly right.
So for me, it was like, he's just toying with him. And then, you know, Vinales comes up there, and then four laps to go, flick the switch, lap record gone, and then wins the race.
18th lap record. Yeah. So Marc Marquez said the race isn't going to start until, you know, the 16th, 17th, 18th lap. And he said when Pecco Bagnaia passed him, he goes, okay, this is when the race starts.
Mm.
Passes Bagnaia back, gets past Vinales. Morbidelli's already going backwards because he's burnt his tyres. Good on them for Morbidelli to getting a podium. It's great to see him up there, but it's just not what you do in Qatar. Like, everyone knows that. You got to conserve tyres. And this is why Marc Marquez was just so brilliant in that race, because he realistically controlled that whole race from third. Who does that?
No one
does that. And the thing with Bagnaia is, you know, and we'll get to him, but he ruined his weekend on the Saturday by that crash.
Yes.
Started eighth. And with that really put him on the back foot. So him on Sunday going amazing first lap from Bagnaia, you know, charging through the field from, or was it 11th? Sorry.
11th.
And within five or six laps, he was in podium positions, but he just destroyed his tire. So by the end of the race, he couldn't control the race and he was running out of grip.
Credit where credit's due for Bagnaia. He's always there on a Sunday.
Yeah.
The sprint race, he just doesn't have it. And that's going to be his kryptonite for the rest of his career.
So do you know why? On the sprint race? It's a fuel tank. So you have to, for the main race and the sprint race, there's two different fuel tanks. So you've got two different fuel loads. So I've got like 22 liters for a main race and like 12 liters for a sprint race. Now you can't just fill up 12 liters in one tank.
Oh.
It's not one tank. So it's two separate tanks. So that's where the issue is coming from, because it's a different weight, it's a different feel on the bike. It's two bolted on separate tanks.
So is it a different feel for him, like around...
Oh, it must be the ergonomics of the bike.
Interesting.
So that's what it is.
You did tell me you had a lot of notes tonight, James.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Yeah, so that's a really good one, which not a lot of people know.
But why you can't fill just that normal tank, because it's what?
It's too hard to scrutineering. It's too hard to control. So they need a tank where it's only filled up to where you can fill it up, which is a 12-liter tank.
I did not know that. I'm sure a lot of the listeners at home didn't know that either.
Yeah, so what they're saying is, and what Ducati realistically should be doing, and they probably should have done 3 years ago, because he's always had a sprint race problems, is they should basically build the exact same tank, but then just shorten it at the top of the tank, of like make it shallower. So then you can still only fit
yeah, 2 liters. Sure, 12 liters in. There's got to be something behind that, because that would be the simplest thing ever.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
They got, as Jack Miller said on...
Shout out to Matt Oxley. He's the one that came up with that. So.
Oh, yeah. It's good. Yeah. Oh, yeah, great call. And we'll shout out another podcast listening to Jack Miller on Gypsy Tales. And said the Ducati has a 3D printing machine that they bring to every race that just continues making parts 24/7. So they're just like continually making parts. And so I'm sure
that he's a step ahead of us.
Yeah. there's probably something behind it, but yeah, it's a great point. And those technical little things is what, you know, is the interesting part.
Yeah, really interesting. Yeah. Really, and just things you don't think about. Like, I didn't think about how there's two separate fuel tanks for a sprint race.
I just thought they half filled it.
Yeah. A normal person would think that. Yeah. This is prototype MotoGP racing. Of course they don't do that, you know? So it's an interesting take. But like the thing is, you know, Marc Marquez makes it work as well. Alex Marquez is making it work.
The greats do, mate. The greats always do. They ride around issues. And that's where... I'm not saying Bagnaia is not a great, but they're superstars. They ride around problems. It starts to rain, they're good in the rain. They got worn tires. They got good with worn tires. Mixed conditions, high pressure moments. It's just it's the difference between the amazing, best ever, and then the next crop of guys. So what it's like that in all motorsport.
Definitely. You hit the nail on the head. What was my one word that I kept talking about Qatar all pre-week, pre-race week? What was Qatar for Marc Marquez and Pecco Bagnaia?
It was a cream.
It was a barometer.
The barometer. it was a cream pie. It was a cream pie.
Whoa. I haven't had one of them in a while.
I'm glad you haven't. yeah, well, and then, wow. Like, James, we sat here 2 weeks ago and we said, if Marquez wins in Qatar, season's over. Season's over. And it's happened.
And he's done the triple again. Season's over.
Yeah, it has to be.
Season's over. And he's won 5 out of 6. It really should be 6 out of 6. Bagnaia is riding amazing. He messed up on Saturday. I understand that. He had an amazing Sunday.
Yep.
The qualifying still stuffed him up. But I think Marc Marquez on this bike after Qatar was just... like, he just controlled the race from third. And it was just... and with after being hit from behind from his brother, which we'll talk about. Like, I don't know how you stop that, man. I don't know how you stop this man without him stopping himself. No. And the only thing is he can get overconfident. We know that. And he can... try and maybe, I don't know if it's late, the right word's laziness, but maybe outright his abilities, break too late. I don't know what it is.
Mm.
But at the moment, like, he's just from day dot, he was just so much faster.
And you just flick a switch. I mean, that's the thing with Bagnaia in 22 and 23. 22 and 23. Just flicked a switch. When he wanted to win, he went, bang, I'm going to win. That's where Marquez... can do it every weekend.
The top quality, and this is what I really admire about Pecco Bagnaia. You know, my favorite quality about him is when the chips are down, he always finds a way.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what champions do as well. He's 11th. He says, I'm going to go out, I'm going to try and pass as many people as I can. And he's third in 5 laps.
Well, what was
in this type of MotoGP era.
And you know, in the main race this morning when watching it, I was watching Bagnaia because I'm like, he's going to come up the inside.
Ah, yeah.
And look, he had a good start and he was sort of squashed in the middle. And then bang, he just pops out and he's sixth or fifth. Two more passes and he's there. Obviously, Didier and Alex Marquez helped him a bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, and time and time again, and people crumble around him as well.
They do.
It happens all the time. So, and that's going to happen. It's motor racing. So
Morbidelli put up a fight. Some people were saying, you know, he should have let him through. It's his mate. Ridiculous. Morbidelli has every right to fight for that.
Yeah.
Just because his tire was gone and Bagnaia's coming through. I love you, buddy. But if we're fighting for third, I'm fucking pushing you off the track. You're right.
And credit where credit's due for Morbs. He hung on there for a few laps. Because usually it is that VR46 Colt, as I always hamp on, and they just move out of the way.
They express lane.
Yeah. How was the boss being there? That was pretty cool.
That was good. I'll actually write a note. He was talking to Didier on the grid. Bro, it looked so intense.
Well,
Valentino looks so intense. Veins popping out of his neck. I've never really seen anything
that's
like
good
that.
Though.
Yeah.
I hope to see him. I loved it. We've booked a trip to Malaysia. We're going to the Malaysian Grand Prix. I'd love to see him there.
Yeah.
Could be a chance.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
Could be a chance.
Really cool. Apparently, the rumor was that Rossi wasn't happy with Morbidelli going off 2 second lead at the start of the main race. Like a rookie mistake.
Yeah.
So there's arguments to it where it's really good for sponsors and sponsorship and stuff like that, but I was a racer, not thinking like that. So
when I first watched it, naked eye, and reflecting on it now, it's different. I have a different opinion, but I thought he's getting out in front because he just doesn't want that Marquez, because Marquez just chucks it at the inside and would... he might
which thought, one?
Both of them. He thinking he might have been bullied out of it to a certain extent. And you know when those sort of riders, the Morbidellis of the world, the Digias, the Binders, they get like a pass done on them and then they get sort of... and then the next person passes and then they drop back a few positions and then the race is over.
Mm.
So it's hard to say. I'd love to say it was a stupid thing. But you got Marc Marquez in the greatest form of his life with the best bike that's ever made, and you just want some time out front. So I can't give him 100% blame on that.
Nah, it's just...
He hasn't led a race in 4 years or something.
It's just a mistake that everyone makes every year.
Yeah, 100%.
And it's a mistake you shouldn't
and
make.
And we probably would make the same mistake if we ever...
For sure.
In our next lifetime, ever had that opportunity.
For sure.
Because you're out front. You're thinking yourself, fuck, has Marquez got damage? You know, has Alex Marquez got damage? Bags is back in probably 6th or 7th. I'm going to have a go here. And then, yeah, but... Yeah, just cooked his tires.
He's just lucky he got that. A fourth is still an amazing result. He's on a year-old bike. We get it. But, you know, he's lucky he got the podium. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He got third.
Two third places.
So he's doing really well.
So the next big talking point for me is, and it's probably gone under the radar, is Fermín Aldeguer.
Man, he is coming into his own.
He's coming amazing, into his own. Isn't it? Like, it's gone, again, from week to week. And we've been the first to judge and we've been the first to criticize. But he's been really, really consistent. Now, again, helps a lot that he's on a Ducati. Helps a lot. But you're not guaranteed to have a great result every weekend if you're on a Ducati. We've seen that. But they've all been up there, haven't they?
They've all been
all
up there.
All six of them.
And look, they're all world-class riders. You've got to be to get there, especially on those Ducatis. Like, Ducati now aren't just going to pick at Chantra. Like, they know they got the best bike. Like, they're picking the talent. Mm. And Fermín's is building and building and building and building. And I 150% believe some point this year, especially in Europe, he's getting a podium.
Yeah. He's late race pace in Coda and in the sprint and in the main race. He definitely. It's such a long race. Like, that's the thing.
It is.
They go out, they're doing 25 to 27 laps, whatever it is. And you think it's all done within 13 laps, but there is just that last 5 or 6 laps, they can make up so much time.
Yeah.
It's not over till it's over, like.
For sure.
Know. And we saw that. We saw that on the weekend. We saw that in the sprint.
Saw that in Coda.
And you had a couple of guys fighting at the front. Then, you know, you got Zarco up there now. It's
great to see. It's, you know, Aiguru has had his time in the sun. He obviously had a bit of a slow weekend this weekend, but that's okay. He's a rookie. Fermín's had the same thing, but it's great to see these rookies. You know, I think realistically in the past few years, Tom, take out Pedro Acosta, I guess. You know, you've had these rookies that have come through. I think Remy Garden, they got shafted a bit. But, you know, Remy, Augusto Fernandez, you know, Rael Fernandez. Like, we've had these rookies that have been underwhelming. Mm. And they're world champions. Like, they're Moto2 world champions. So, they've obviously got talent. But clearly, you got to get on the right bike, but you know the gaps may be closing between all the bikes, which I think it is. I definitely think it is.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we saw a KTM, a Yamaha, an Aprilia. Aguri did okay in the sprint, but I mean the Aprilia looks fast with the right person riding it as well. So you're right; they're all there or thereabouts.
Yeah. So that's my point is, it's just good to see rookies getting results. There's nothing worse than seeing fucking Augusto Fernandez, a Moto2 world champion, just can't even get a point. I don't think that's deserved. I think he's better than that. Whether it's the bike, whether it's his mentality, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what happened with him. I think he crashed with about a few laps to go.
Low side.
But he was up the back, far at the back. So
that's okay. He's a test rider.
Yeah.
You know, he's had time off a bike. That's fine. Like, on a Yamaha. Speaking of Japanese motorcycles, Honda. Honda's back. Now, news out of Honda.
Talk to me.
All right. World Superbikes. Top Rack. The rumors are Top Rack signing for Honda in World Superbikes next year with the clause to ride for HRC in 2027, which gives him all of next year to test and develop the new Honda on Pirelli tires.
Wow. Hot off the press.
Yeah. Yeah, which is the smartest thing to do. So they're going to put him on that shitbox CBR 1000s and World Superbikes.
Has he got a contract with BMW?
It runs out. Runs out this year, so he's free. Goodness. So Honda are going to pay him a boatload of money, and then he's going to test a brand new bike with a lack of aero. Tires he already knows because they're Pirellis. Obviously, they're still going to be a bit different, but he knows Pirellis. And he's going to get a head start almost on a lot of people on this Honda. And then race 2027 on that Honda. Another thing that backs up Top Rack, is the head honchos of Honda Racing was at Assen this weekend.
Right.
This is where it's all coming from.
Okay.
Now, another thing is it looks like Honda is looking to pay Pedro Acosta out of his contract 6 to 7 mil and have him race for HRC next year. So they're making moves.
Well, this is where amazing. But this is where you got to now think about getting rid of Idemitsu.
You've got
too many riders now. You're going to have too many quality riders.
Look, I 100% agree. But Lucio Ceccanello, the poor fella, needs money.
Yeah.
And that's what it comes down to, isn't it?
Yeah. Sounds amazing. Sounds exciting.
What do you think? I think that's a really smart play by Honda.
For Toprak. I still on the bandwagon of BMW coming to the sport and him continuing with them. But who knows? I'm guessing that's from the horse's mouth, Oxley Bomb.
Yeah.
So that's crucial information, and they don't beat around the bush and start rumors like that. So that's super exciting for Honda, for the sport, for Toprak. Because you can't, like, all due respect to World Superbikes, that guy is not only talented, but also brings eyes to the racing. And he's got a super cool personality, you know, aura. And he belongs in the premier class.
1,000%. There's no point putting him on a bike on Michelin tires that don't work. The front tires, nowhere. The rear tires, nowhere. Like, it's not going to happen. But if he's testing this bike, like, that is... Or that would be the perfect start for him going into Honda. And Honda, the leaps they've made. Zarco, fourth.
Yeah.
Fifth during the races. Like, right, I think he ended up fourth on the main race.
He did. Amazing.
Like, Marini, I got a note here. Luca Marini has scored more points in the first three rounds than 19 last year. Mm. Now, if that's not improvement, I don't know what is. Honda is charging through. Yeah, it's all because of Make Honda Great Again. They've listened to our points.
They actually have.
I know. It's crazy.
Soon the headquarters will be in bloody Barcelona or something.
It'll be in Melbourne. It'll be here with us. We'll have our feet up on the desk smoking a cigar. Get the 3D printer out like Ducati. But like, they are charging through. They're making moves. And it's the thing with Honda. We've always said this. They're the ones with the biggest budget. They're the ones that have been there and done that.
They're the most complacent.
Again, you're completely right. Yeah. They've done it in the 80s and the 90s. They've done it with letting Suzuka go.
Yeah, in the 40s.
They weren't complacent in the 40s, no. Buddy. They were. No. They were on the charge.
No, it was the late 40s.
When they got beaten. Yeah, they got beaten down.
They went too far the other way.
Okinawa.
Raise a flag. It's such good news. And look, people are coming up and talking to us about it. We were with Stephen Bradshaw Layfield yesterday.
Why is it Stephen Bradshaw Layfield?
It's Brayshaw, but I don't know if any WWE fans from back in the day, JBL, John Bradshaw Layfield, goat in WWE. Appreciate it after, not when you're watching after.
Yeah, WWE fans will.
No, Brayshaw was down there racing the Ovalis, and he's like, what's his... might have not been him, but it was like, what's the rumors about Toprak? Because you reckon he's going? And like, man, it's like, it's a big news story at the moment. Mm. Because he's cool. He's a, you know...
If I was Toprak, though, I would be not staying with BMW, because BMW don't know what they're doing, and then they've got to develop a brand new bike. Honda's already a year ahead, 2 years ahead. You're going to go to Honda.
Well, look, if I had this... We had this conversation a year ago. Fuck no.
Yeah, no, you're right. 100%.
But now, I mean, there's light at the end of the...
It's awesome to see,
at
man.
The end of the tunnel there. So,
God, yeah. It's awesome to see...
The Suzuka Tunnel,
yeah. Exactly. It's so good to see Zarco doing well. Marini's doing better. He had a top 10. Mir was unfortunate because he was sick.
Yeah,
like
it was,
Jack.
It seemed actually go through the paddock because there's a few people. I think Augusta Fernandez said he was complaining a bit as well. Jack Miller had the runs. So did Mir. So, yeah, must have had some... I don't know. It was either gastro or some dodgy Qatarian food going around. So
yeah, I don't know. It's a weird one. Weird one.
It's amazing it doesn't happen more though, James. It's like you've got a circus that travels from race to race to race to race. They're always together. You know, they're always on planes. It's amazing they don't get sick more.
Just flying and that gets you sick.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I know you got sick from... It was probably from me, but... Poor Curdy got sick at Phillip Island because of me. It's always because of me.
It's because you were drinking random people's beers. I think you drank like 30 different people's beer.
Then I started kissing Curdy, so that was probably not the right thing to do.
That was a good makeout sesh.
Curdy, you use your present that we got you yet or not?
Oh, yeah. True. Come on.
No.
That's a lie. If you're not going to use it, give it to me.
pretty sure I've chucked that thing out a while back.
Get out of here.
That shit's gone.
He's got dumped. He got dumped. Terrible.
You know what? Like, this is what like Cody would do. He'll walk in one day with like a 10 out of 10 like Russian model.
Yeah, no,
and like, no. It wouldn't be a surprise.
Yeah, it would be funny.
What's your name?
Olga.
Duh. Olga, terrible name. V40 Yamaha looks like it's a thing next year.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, that was all the rumor going to this year. Yeah. So they're going to not develop for this year. They're just going to concentrate on next year. Yeah. Then the whole rules will change again.
Yeah, but they can, like, when they develop the 1000, that's going to help develop the 800. It's so going to work hand in hand.
Excuse my ignorance on this one. It's, go on. There's no problem with having a V4 800cc motorcycle.
No. Cool. Well, they can make anything. It's a prototype.
Yeah, exactly right.
You know, so that's the. That's the plan. So that's what it looks like it's going to be.
Jimmy, let's talk protection, because what you wear actually matters in a crash. Nemium armored leggings have a 3-star impact protection, 4-star comfort, and the thinnest CE level 2 armor available. More protection, less bulk.
Tommy, one of the many reasons I love this product is because of the comfort. You can wear these Nemium leggings underneath like your jeans, your normal chino pants, mate. When I'm riding, I don't want to be dressed up like a stiff motorcycle rider wearing leather everywhere. I want to be wearing my normal jeans, getting a coffee, whatever, looking cool. I love how these leggings just go under everything seamlessly and you just fit in with the normal crowd.
I mean, there's no overheating, there's no stiffness. And look, we really believe in this product.
Yep.
It's MotoCap tested. It's proven to have a 5.42 second slide time. These things are very, very hard to get in this industry. Serious riders wear Nemium. Upgrade your ride at Nemium.clothing.
I love it. And use code Nemium Republica for 10% off.
Now back to the podcast. Nice.
Max Biaggi in practice.
Yeah, I had a note. Loved on, it. I had a note on that. And go on. I thought you would quite enjoy this. It's funny for me, Max Biaggi. Commentary was really cool to listen to. It had some great insight. And I really enjoyed it. But what's amazing for me is I wasn't a huge follower of the sport in the early 2000s.
No, you knew a bit, but you weren't like you are now.
And Max Biaggi, a star, and I'm sure in the junior categories coming up through, he was a star. But all I know him for is his rivalry with Rossi. It's all I know him for.
I thought it was because your mum met Max Biaggi and she's telling me that story 100 times. And it's awesome. Yeah. Shout out to Melissa.
It's all I know of him. It's all I attach him. And I just couldn't believe someone's career. Like, they've started racing bikes at an early age and gone through all the categories and 250cc champion.
Five time. Like Booker T.
but like, and then, yeah, I mean, an absolute star of the sport. And then all the average punter knows is, oh yeah, he's the one that had the massive, you know, beef with his fellow countrymen.
Yeah.
And it's just funny. And I was just reflecting on different sports stars around the world. Probably said it, given ours is exactly the same. So from a person who didn't follow the sport much back then, but now it does now, and I'm sure there's a lot of people at home are the same as me. That's how much Rossi transformed the sport as well.
100%. The thing with Max Biaggi is, you know, he didn't start racing motorcycles until he was 17 or 18.
Yeah, I remember you saying that. It's crazy, isn't it?
It's a... Yeah. I think he's adopted, like, just a different human.
Yeah, yeah,
just, but it's...
Yeah.
You couldn't do that now. And they talked about that in the commentary again, which is cool. But you definitely couldn't do that now. No. You can't just get a 17-year-old who's never ridden or raced and put him on a Moto3 bike or whatever, you know? So, like, it was great insight. It's great to hear for him. It's good for him to still be in the sport. Like, he's obviously, you know, ran that Husky team for a bit and had his own Moto3 team. And now he's doing all the Aprilia ambassador stuff. But he's still... still
have a great person to have around, 100%.
Yeah, Max Biaggi's a star. He's a MotoGP legend. He was one of my favorites as a kid, you know, even with Rossi. Like, he just went up against Doohan. I think he went up against Doohan for a year or two. And then Valentino, yeah. Like... Good luck, man. Good luck with Valentino. Back
a lot
in
of
those
hard
days.
Luck stories over the years. You know, you look at even the Divizioso just came up against a Marquez juggernaut. And
well, like exactly, yeah. Like Rossi. That Rossi and him swapped bikes. So basically, when Honda, we're on a bit of a tangent here, but when they went to 4-strokes, Max was on the Yamaha, Rossi was on the Honda. Honda came in with this amazing prototype, threw all the money at it. Yamaha basically, and same as Suzuki, bolted a four-stroke engine into the two-stroke chassis, blew Yamaha out of the water. Obviously, they swapped. Max took Rossi's bike, and then that's why it's so crazy.
Yeah.
Rossi beat Max in Welcome in South Africa. And the Benz, and on his Honda, on Max's Yamaha, just another element to that story.
Mm.
I'd hurt your ego. That would hurt.
If you could go back in time and watch one race live, what race would it be?
2009 Catalunya.
Yeah.
It would have to be 2009 Catalunya.
But would that Rossi win in South Africa be up there as well?
It would be, but no disrespect to the South African fans, it wouldn't have been as crazy as the Spanish.
Mm.
I could be wrong. South Africans, message me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But
was that Kyle Army? Where they race?
No, Welcome.
Welcome.
Welcome. I think it's called Welcome.
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 Welcome. That would be. It'd have to be 09 Catalunya, definitely. What about you?
Oh, I have to say the same thing. I mean, it's yeah. I mean, that's just a part of history, part of motorcycle history. That race.
So. You know, we were at Philippon, obviously 2015. That crazy race where Marquez won. You know, and he hit the seagull. A lot of people regard that as one of the best races of all time.
Well, the thing is with that race, there was four of them going for the win, five of them going for the win.
Wild.
And obviously the battle of the teammates, Lorenzo Rossi, was just them two. But yeah. What was that race like, that 09 Catalunya race? Was it just toing and froing the whole time? Or was it just the last sort of five or six laps that were so amazing?
Nah.
Because I remember it being sort of just a sort of normal sort of race for the first 15 laps.
I think Pedrosa was up there and they gapped Pedrosa and Stoner, third, halfway through the race, whatever. And then you know what it's like. It's a bit cat and mouse until the last five laps.
Yeah.
And it's what a crazy, craziest of crazy races. And that's the one, you want to be sitting on that grandstand on the last corner. You know, those people that are sitting there watching that.
Yeah. And I think we met someone who was there or something. I remember talking, and they were on the last corner that year. And just happened to be there at that time would have just been amazing. So.
Special. And that's, 2009 is crazy. It was the last year Rossi won a title. Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
It's just, you kind of think he won because he was so big in the 2010s, but it just never happened. But, that's a peak. That was a peak of Rossi's powers and height as well. Crazy. Special mention, 2008 Laguna Seca would have been a good one.
Back of the pits, being in that post-race, that would have been crazy to be as well.
What about back of the pits, 2015 Sepang, Marquez Rossi? That would have been a goodie. Asking for an autograph then.
Just standing there watching it all unfold. And we might have the opportunity one day.
Sepang always throws up some crazy thing, clearly.
What else you got on MotoGP, my boy?
Bro, I think that's it. The only other thing is Alex Marquez. What's two questions? Actually, two more points. The first one, Alex Marquez, he got asked what's changed. And there's a very unrider-like response. This is what Max was talking about. He said, the bike. I changed the bike. It's not him. Normally, a rider will say, it's me that's changed. I've done this. I've gotten better. He said, over the off-season, we changed the bike.
Interesting. There you go.
And that might be obviously the help of Mark as well. Who knows? But I think that's a very...
But he's riding Mark's bike from last year, pretty much.
Yeah. Because Mark's bike was a 23.
He's riding
Pecco's bike, realistically.
Yeah.
It's just a refreshing take because everyone will always say it's them. But he's like, no, it's the bike. It's the bike. Sorry.
But you probably talk to half of that grid and they probably think they're the best. I think they still... You have to be like that. Bro, he showed some real speedy and he was a stupid move up the inside with Didger, and it was hard to... Yeah, twice.
Yeah.
And it was hard to... The replay didn't really show exactly what happened. I don't know if he sort of was just a bit too ambitious into that corner. He definitely was too ambitious into that corner, but just was a weird incident.
Everyone makes mistakes. You see Morbidelli doing it. You see Mark Marquez doing
it. It's almost like Didier broke a bit too early or something. He missed braking lines, but there's not a huge braking area into that corner anyway.
It was just going in way too hard, but
you know, very Bezecchi of him.
Yeah, very Morbidelli of him.
Yeah, it was.
Mate, Bezecchi, fraud watch, huh?
Yeah, I know. I know.
Got passed by Jorge Martin. What's like...
He bounced back on Sunday. I just...
What, bro, ninth? Ninth isn't good
it's
enough.
It's not good enough. But yeah, I just... Yeah, who knows? Let's wait. We know we always say Jerez. That's the
I don't want to keep talking about it. Yeah. Last one as well. Raul Fernandez, seeing a psychologist. He says he's just cooked. He's mentally is cooked. He's open about it, which is cool. I like that.
Like mental health situation?
Well, nah, not like that. As in like just trying to get his head in the game about riding the bike. Like he's just so in his own head, I guess you could say, about riding this Aprilia. Mm. You know, he's seeing like a sports psychologist, which is really common.
I think they all should.
Yeah.
They all should be.
It's really common.
I think top sportsman.
I think Marc Marquez might fry a psychologist's brain, but but it's interesting. He admits he's really struggling on the bike and in his own head. So it wouldn't surprise me
if he pops up in like a qualifying session and puts it like on the front row this year. Wow. I know it sounds ridiculous. I get it.
It does.
But it's like a Taka Nakagami in...
go on, you know this.
In Spain. Starts... Yeah. Go on.
Aragon. What did he do second corner?
He crashed. But that was the Marquez effect. They all freak out about him. And same thing with Morbidelli on the weekend. Oh my God, I'm going to put him for the fastest lap on the first lap, burn my tyres up. Stock standard procedure.
How good is it? How good is MotoGP? How good is motor racing?
Yeah, it better, Doug? No, there's not. There's not. And even like and we talk about the smaller classes, we'll jump onto Moto2 and Aaron Canet got the W, eh?
Bro, 14th in the first sector to first. Great race.
Yeah. Yep. Dennis Onchu second.
Your boy.
Finally.
I was cheering him on for you.
Finally. Like he's come good. Denny's. Manuel Gonzalez, OG, fourth. Third. Danny Holgado, fourth, which is a good result for him as well.
Bro, amazing. Yeah. He's a rookie.
Diego Moreira, fifth. Barry Baltas, sixth. Celestino Vietti, seventh. Marcos Ramirez, my boy, eighth. Albert Arenas, ninth. And Philip Salich, tenth. David Alonso, 11th.
Yeah.
Getting there. Getting closer.
It was 20th at one point. Can I have that for a second? Because that's good you got
and
that.
And shout out to Senna AGS, 3 long lap penalties, finishing 14th.
Yeah, he had a rough race day.
He did.
I just want to go through some of these names that I think, like, this is, again, we talk about Moto2 in a stacked field, and people obviously, like, someone, as you say, someone has to finish 8th, someone has to finish 18th,
yeah.
Someone has to finish 20th. But you look at riders like, okay, David Alonso, 11th, that's all right. Joe Roberts, 15th. Alonso Lopez, 16th. Adrian Huertas, okay, rookie, but Supersport champion, 17th. Ivan Atola, 18th. Mm. Sergio Garcia, 19th. Tony Arbolino, 20th. Ivan Guevara, 22nd. Like, you know, these are top names,
yep.
Struggling. But then, like, how do you replace Dennis Onchu, Manu Gonzalez? Danny Holgado is doing amazing. Diego Moreira is... Ever since he's jumped on a Moto2 bike, has been up there. Like Vietti, 7th. Ramirez, like, it's just, this is such a hard class. And people say, you know, it can be boring, whatever. But, bro, if you're not on your A game, you're 20th in Tony Arbolino.
Well, it makes Senna's result even better. I mean, all those names you mentioned who are finishing 17th, 18th, 19th, and 22nd, they're still behind Senna. Three long laps. Pretty incredible. You're right. Getting a top 10 is like getting a podium in Moto2 at the moment.
It's just, bro, like it's like I saw the results and I'm looking at these names. I'm thinking, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's funny because those top 10 that I mentioned, they're all normal names we hear all the time. And then you look at the bottom 10 and we're like, they're normal names you hear all the time.
Exactly.
So it's so mixed up.
Exactly.
In the class. So yeah, it's very strong. And I think, obviously, us following the sport close as well, you meet these people and you hear more and more of them. So they become, you know, the personalities. And you know, oh, he's come from Moto3, Moto2. That's how I feel anyway, because I know more about the sport now. But yeah, any one of those 20 guys can win a race.
Man, 100%. The only kind of new guy that was kind of in there is like Barry Baltas. He's normally like 15th.
Yeah, we finished 6th.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Like,
it's crazy.
it's just such a competitive class. And, you know, it's, I always go back to what you say. I don't forget it now. It's like, bro, someone's got to finish 8th. Someone's going to finish 15th. Someone's going to finish 18th. It's so true.
Yeah.
It's the most dumbest thing ever, but yeah. It's so true. Yeah. Like, and, you know, like guys like Tony Arbolina, I don't know. Like, it's just maybe it's the bike, but...
Oh, well, he's had enough excuses now.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. The, you know, Tiger Tony is got immense talent, but it was tires. It was this. It was that. The bike. He's finally got used to the tires. Now he's not used to them again. So... You know what? He could be the kind of guy like an older guy who goes into a MotoGP bike and gets a lot out of it, but he has to perform to get that chance.
Yeah, he's still got to string something together. But like Danny Holgado, we can't go past him.
Oh, yeah.
Fourth place. Awesome effort for a rookie. You know, I can't wait to see how Europe goes for these guys as well. But just
so he's Darvin Alonso's teammate. That's a great team, isn't it?
Great.
So they got two. So CF Moto have two rookies in Moto 2 this year.
Yeah. They were fighting for the title last year.
Yeah.
So it's, he was trying to fight for the title against David Alonso. David Alonso had some great late pace. It's going to be interesting to see how he goes. You know, we've got a hot take coming up on him anyway, so we'll wait for that. But it'll be interesting to see how he goes at the later on in the year. And 14th to 1st for Aaron Canet. Shout out to him. Not a bridesmaid. Incredible ride. Good on him. Hopefully no more P2s for him. But great race. Great, great, great race.
All right, we'll get on to Moto 3.
Let's do it, big dog.
Angel Piqueras first, the new star of the lightweight class, I reckon. Tayo Furusato second.
Yeah.
Ryuichi Yamanaka third.
Ruisa.
Another double Japanese.
They love the lightweight like classes,
can't
man.
Can't perform in the... Yeah, we'll see. Jolly Kelso just misses out. Devo for Jolly, but had a great race.
He got held up by, I think it was Rueda, who had like a mechanical or something right at the end. So it was a bit unlucky.
Ricardo Rossi fifth. David Munoz sixth. Luca Liena seventh. Stefano Nepa eighth. Nicolo Carrio ninth. And Guado Pini 10th.
Can you just tell me where Rulston finished?
Scotty Ogden, shout out, 12th. Nice. Rulston, 14th. Nice. Okay. With still have a little bit of that, injury ridden. So,
well, for the Aussies, it was good. Obviously, Kelso, 4th. And Rulston, 20 seconds, got up to 9th at one stage. So, he had a good run. And then he finished 14th.
What happened to old mate, new fella, Star? Where did he finish?
Who are you talking about? He didn't race. He's injured.
Oh.
Maximil Quiles.
What happened to him?
I don't know.
Damn, slipped on a bloody banana peel or something? No?
I don't know. I don't know. I'd say yes. It wasn't a motocross accident. It was a banana peel accident.
You got much on Moto3, Jimmy boy?
Our boy Conrad Buchanan, unfortunately, was up there in the points. Almost in, I think, top 10. Cormac Buchanan, sorry. Up there. I think he was almost in the top 10, binned it. But he was it was a very, very, very good effort for that. So
yeah,
far.
He's got some real talent, that boy. Looking forward to seeing what he can do mid season back to Europe. Let's see what he can do.
Yeah, and again, we don't have too much on Moto3. It was just another crazy, excellent race. I still can't pick. It's probably going to be out of Piqueras and Rueda, I think, for the title. But once we get back to Europe, you kind of know a bit more. But Kelso is up there. I think he just got dicked on a couple of rounds in, I think, Kota and I think Thailand. I think he might have DNF. So it's just good to see those boys out there.
It's just going to be about staying on the bike. That's the big thing. Just getting results after results after results.
It's so hard to stay on the bike when there's 5, 6, 7 riders abreast into a corner.
Yeah, I know.
It was an awesome race. The last three went down to the wire again. I think in Moto3, it's like an average of 0.3 of a second from first to second. Like, it's just nothing. It's absolutely
greatest
nothing.
Show on earth.
It's the greatest show on earth. If you don't watch it, watch it. Every corner, last thing, every corner in Moto3 in Qatar is inviting. Every corner is like a last corner Jerez. Like, they just invites passing around that track. So, it's just so exciting.
Yeah.
All right.
Formula One.
Next.
Thank you. Oscar Piastri, do we dare to dream?
Yeah.
This is the... Being an Aussie, this is the closest we're going to be to have a world championship for a very long time. The last time that an Australian has been in this position at all has been Mark Webber in 2010, and that was still an outside chance. So it's a pretty incredible year for us.
Points, what's he behind?
They're all close. It's about 3 points difference. Max Norris and Oscar Curtis.
Go on.
Lando Norris is at 77 points with one win, four podiums. Oscar Piastri is at 74 points, two wins, three podiums. Max Verstappen's at 69 points, one win and two podiums. Russell's at 63 points, no wins, three podiums. And then Leclerc is at 32 points.
Beautiful.
Thanks, Curtis. Beautiful.
Thank you for that. That's good to know. Do we dare to dream? It's a great question to ask. In your opinion, is if you had to pick and taking bias out of it,
yeah,
who are you picking as your number one?
As you know, all F1 weeks, I've chosen Lando, but he just continues to disappoint everyone in qualifying.
I think just to add on to that, you've actually probably never really been that biased. You've always chosen Lando over Oscar. In my opinion,
I had Oscar for the smoky at the start of the year. It wasn't really that much of a smoky, but I just really feel that Lando just can't handle the heat, and it eventuated last night's race as well. He struggled in qualifying when they had simply the fastest car, puts it on six, which you're always going to be on the back foot. Then does a ridiculous, he puts the car over the front of the grid box. It gets a five-second penalty in the race. And then his race craft was just so questionable throughout the race. And I know the commentators mentioned it, and I don't want to steal that thunder from them, but just lackluster outside moves, you know, twitching to the inside and not making that dive bomb move. And like, he could have just been so much more aggressive. And again, you put Max in that position, it's completely different.
You just got to be aggressive, but smooth aggressive.
And I don't know what it's his friendship with George Russell. He just didn't want to put that move on. To with that five laps ago, the car won by 15 seconds. Like Oscar was out in front. Mm. So, the verdict's out. I mean, the guy's got so much talent, but when it's going to come down to those championship moves, those championship chances later in the year, is he going to have it, or is Oscar just got that head screwed on and can make these amazing qualifying laps and amazing moves throughout the race?
It's interesting the comments he made during the weekend after qualifying. He said, and I don't think you should be saying this. And Pecco said some questionable things as well over the past couple of years against their rivals. But it's almost a defeatist attitude where he goes, you know, my teammate Oscar Piastri is going to lap everyone, including me. It's a crazy thing to say.
Doesn't make sense to me.
It's such a defeatist attitude. Yeah. And I think as a rival driver, I'm like, bro, if you're Valentino Rossi, he'll eat you alive.
Yeah.
If you're Max Verstappen, if you're Michael Schumacher, you're Hamilton, whoever it is, like these guys see weakness and they jump all over it. And that's just a very strange comment for me to make. And you're right, the dude's got so much talent and he can be a world champion, and he's leading the title. I understand that. He still put it third, but he's in that amazing car. And just making comments like that, those silly mistakes like in qualifying, like you know how important qualifying is almost a race at the moment. Like it's so important. And I don't know, just things like that outside the racetrack resonate a lot.
Yeah. And look, to be honest, he's gone first, second, third. And we're half thinking he's had a bit of a disappointing start to the year, but he's been there or thereabouts.
For sure. 100%. Great call.
And I've harped on this last week. You got to cash in while you can. Round 9, Barcelona, rules are changing. Flexi wing going out. Red Bull could be faster. You just got to cash in while you can. Of him finishing third behind Russell, when he had the opportunity in those last 10 laps to pass him and pass him convincingly up the inside on some of those corners. Again, we're sitting here. It's hard to speak for him. But yeah, the race craft was a big question for me. And a lot of people have been talking about that over the last few hours. It's just a lack of aggression.
What do you think of these new rules? In your opinion, what do you think it's going to be a huge change? Like, what do you see happening?
Well, they're saying that Red Bull are the only team that are buying by this flexi-wing measurement. So, from all reports, it's going to be pretty. It's going to be a pretty big difference. But
do you? What do you think?
I don't know. I don't know. It's probably just going to be much of the same. It probably is. I mean, they're going to find they got 4 weeks to figure out solutions for this anyway. So if if it was finishing this weekend, it might be different. But they've given the teams a lot of leeway on this.
Yeah,
and you see, like, the wings are not allowed to flex, but you see them flexing heaps. Like, front wings are flapping, rear wings are coming up and down. These things are so twisty now, and they're all they move with the corners. It's I mean, it's just obviously that's the fastest way of doing it. They're all low to the ground. We saw obviously those drivers get disqualified in Australia for having those planks. You saw them in qualifying. Their floors are almost lighting on fire. These things are they're just trying to squeeze as much performance out of these cars as possible. Because lower you are, the more aero you are. Mm. The faster you're going to be down the straight. You think bouncing on the ground is going to make you slower, but it doesn't. Yeah. So it's interesting. It's going to be interesting what happens in Barcelona. It's going to be one of those tracks where it's all about that aero.
Never creates good racing.
Never creates good racing. And DRS never seems to work around that track either. So
yeah, true. I remember talking about that last year. It was weird as.
Lots of people are talking about. I've had a lot of messages about it. That telecast was just a poor telecast all round. You had the transponder issues with Russell was popping on and off.
Just as you're saying that, I was almost about to call you when I was driving to work because I'm watching it. I'm trying to drive, watch the Formula One, and I see Russell down the bottom. Yeah. Like, what happened? And they weren't talking about it. And I was like cracking it. And I was like, I was about to call you and be like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And then like 30 seconds later, it's like, oh, the transponder's down. He's been up and down and everything like shut off. And I was like, what is going on?
It was a strange night. You had the transponder issue with Russell. His dash was apparently nearly going in and out. People couldn't get DRS behind him because the transponder sends the signal that you're 1 second behind.
Yes.
So then Lando he had to get told you could put the DRS on. Russell then had the DRS open when he had no one in front of him. And this goes back to what we were talking about last week. It's still a manual flicking on and off this DRS, where I was under the impression that only could turn it on when they pass that line. So I'm surprised that doesn't happen more. You had dashboards, as I said, going out. You had Red Bull pit lights staying red.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, conspiracy.
Is it a full moon or something?
I don't know. I'm thinking like Bahrain owned by... Bahrain owned half of McLaren. What's going on? We got some hackers. We got Red Bull putting staying in the pit lane for 3 seconds too long. You got Russell with all these issues. I'm like, I reckon there's some biometrics going on here.
Oh, this is a great take. Yeah. I'm liking this. I didn't know it was half owned by McLaren.
Yeah, so the Bahrainian, they call it a fund. I'm assuming it's a government fund. They own 50% or 51% of McLaren. So, yeah. So it was interesting. That's
the red light.
We're going to make the news. We're going to make the news on that one.
I like this.
Conspiracy.
I like this. This could be the best take you've ever made on this podcast.
You got to remember that this things don't happen like this. This has never happened before.
Bro,
red light for me was like the cherry on top.
It was so weird.
Yeah, like it never happened ever.
And they're all looking around like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, like
what do you mean you don't
know?
And
they got the spare one out. The guy's holding the spare one, still stays red. I'm like, what's going on? So, it was a very strange one. I reckon there was some Bahrainian IT expert clicking some keyboards and making it happen for McLaren. And Lando still couldn't get past them.
So what you're saying is the moon landing was fake and the Bahrainians rigged this race. 9/11 was an inside job.
Yeah. cracking little race. I really enjoyed the race.
A great race. Two-stopper.
We always talk about that. Should it be mandatory for two stops? We don't know.
Should have brought the Ashfeld onto from Saudi Arabia. I mean, that's why Danby's been having a go at me. Because I had a go at him over the pod.
I think so. He holds grudges.
Yeah.
Cracking. The midfield battle for me at the moment is awesome.
Yeah.
It's really, really enjoying that. Jack Doohan had a really good race. And then stay off those hard tyres. Anyone who went on the hard tyres...
Ferrari did it at the end, their last stint.
I know. We'll talk about that in a sec. But you put those hard tyres on, everyone went backwards. You saw Verstappen. Verstappen pitted to go put on the mediums, went back to 20th place.
Yeah.
And then came back to finish 5th. And they didn't. Not many people talked about that. But yeah. So Ferrari went medium, had to either go soft or go hard.
How many laps left?
26 laps. And even Russell said...
Audacious.
Look, He goes, I don't know if I'm going to make it to the end here on these tyres. They went for the hards, which had no pace. Personally, it could have transformed the race if they went softs. And I think Leclerc, if that safety car didn't come out, would have got a podium because he would have got that much longer on the mediums, put a set of softs on with, you know, 19 laps to go, had super quick pace, and I reckon he might have finished second. So there was some good things to talk about for Ferrari, but yeah, still they still haven't got the outright pace at all. And we consider them probably the second fastest car going into this year. So
yeah, okay, yeah.
Well, I
Mercedes.
Yeah, I mean, you got to remember the start of the year. You had Mercedes. You got a brand new kid on this team, Antonelli. You got Russell.
George Russell's doing pretty good, man.
Yeah, but I'm talking preseason here.
Okay, sorry.
Like, I'm thinking to myself, Russell, is he that good? Is he a proven number one driver? Verdict's out at the moment. This is preseason. And then seeing his results the first three rounds, he's done a really, really good job. He's been there or thereabouts and really, really doing well. So
yeah, I would say Mercedes is the second best car.
They are now. Yeah, definitely. And consistent. Different conditions. Different. Usually last year, they were really good in the heat. The cool conditions. Terrible in the heat. But they've been a bit of everything this year.
I think Antonelli, what's his best result so far? A sixth or a fifth?
Yeah.
Which for a rookie... He's pretty, doing well. Pretty bloody good, he's man. Doing as well. A 19-year-old or whatever. He's 17-year-old well. Or whatever.
Yeah. He's like, not doing like what
he's doing well,
Hamilton
man.
Did in 07, but he's there or thereabouts.
He's doing good. I think he's doing really good.
Yeah.
You know, I could not complain about him. He was your boy, isn't he? Didn't you pick him a year ago? Oh, Antonelli was coming onto the scene.
I much respect for Mercedes for doing it because... Mm. They could have gone with just a normal Bottas or Ocon or just someone who
run of the mill.
They've already had a chance.
Run of the mill.
Put the young kid in the car, let him develop it, come into the new season, new regs next year, and go with the fighting. And they've done exactly what I said they should do.
Bro, and McLaren did that.
Yeah, exactly right.
Look at them.
Yeah.
But you know, if you're a young kid, you go to Ferrari, you go to McLaren, you go to Mercedes, and you stay the fuck away from Red Bull.
Oh, yeah, I know. Until Max leaves, stay a fuck away from there. Yeah, 100%. Just going back to Moto3, we're talking about MLAV Racing.
Yeah.
Five out of their six riders this year have injured themselves.
Five out of their six riders.
Sorry, the five out of the last six riders who have raced them have injured themselves with severe injuries. And they had this is an off-the-cuff comment, but they had a rookie that was going to debut with them and their manager said, no, we're not going with this team because it's so dangerous. Interesting.
Weird, man.
What made this race so good is the mixture of strategy.
Yeah.
So it wasn't the two-stop, it was a mixture of strategy. When that safety car came out, we had the top three drivers on three different compounds.
Yeah.
So we had soft, medium, and hard on all three different compounds. And that's what made the race exciting.
Yep.
And that's what goes back to my point, James.
Go on.
Mandatory, you have to run the soft tire in the race.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be two stop. It can mandatory have to run that soft tire. And that's where these crazy little results or going off the cliff, those sort of interesting parts of the race come into it.
Now, is there tracks in Formula One, because you're going to know a lot better than me, where a soft tire is just unusable? I mean, they run five laps and it cooks itself. Is there a track? Is there been? I'm sure there's been instances like that. But has there been instances like that in the past year, couple of years, where they just go? They know they just can't. They don't run the soft. They bring the soft for some dumb reason. And they know they can't run it. Now, is there instances of that?
I'm going to talk to the people at home. I'm sure some of you would know this, but there's actually six different tires in the year they can use, and they bring. It's called the C1, C2, C3, C4, C5. So if it's a really high deg track, they'll bring the hardest three compounds, but they'll still call them hard, medium, and soft. But it'll be the C1, C2, and C3, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So if they go to a place like Bahrain, like Silverstone, they would pick the harder compounds. If they go to a place like Monaco, you know, even probably to a certain extent, what's coming up? Probably Miami would be the same. They would pick... So, no, the soft tire was going to work everywhere in every track.
Gotcha.
It's not going to last... It might last 10 laps, it might last 15 laps, or it could last 20 laps.
Yeah.
But there's not like a qualifying tire anywhere, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
the old days used to run like 1 to 5 laps, whatever.
Yeah, 2-lap specialist.
But it's probably tracks like Bahrain, like China. Istanbul Park was a classic one. That was like... That was an... it was from one season to another, they resurfaced it. So it went from like the grippiest track to like the like to the ungrippiest track overnight. Like it was,
what track was this?
Istanbul Park.
Oh, yeah, right. Great track.
And they raced there and it started to rain and they just had no grip. Like it was incredible.
Isn't it funny you get these world class motorsport events, you know, it happens in GP and F1.
Yeah.
Where they just don't know what happens, or there's just a monumental fuck up and that happens. Like, isn't it just crazy that that happens?
In 2021, it started to rain, then it dried up and they were faster on the intermediate tire than they were the softs. It's dry tire because they just had no grip. They just did like, it was the most craziest thing ever.
World class event. Yeah. World class event and a random car comes on the track in Korea.
Yeah, I know.
It's just wild to me.
It's amazing that. And it's like, and going back to the telecast.
Great take. Go on.
Going back to the telecast, we had Hamilton passing. We had Hamilton passing, I think it was maybe Hadjar or something. I forget who it was.
Someone.
But then you had Leclerc and Norris fighting. They weren't showing on the telecast. Then they jumped on board with Leclerc. You didn't know if Norris was in front of him or behind him. It was a shocking, shocking moment. Then you had Piastri winning and then him not being shown on TV.
That was weird as, man.
It's been the worst telecast this year. I don't know if they've got a new person doing it. I mean, it's a super hard job to do, but it's deemed terrible.
But they've been doing it pretty good for the past 60 years.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, you always show the winner over the line.
You always show
it doesn't
the
matter
winner.
If it's the best battle ever. You always flick to the winner over the line, bang, and then you go back to the battle.
For multiple reasons. Because he won.
Yep.
For the team and for the sponsors.
Yeah. So that's... I mean, I think McLaren would be pissed by that.
Pissed off by that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great take.
Yeah, it was just... And look, I'm watching it thinking... You got Russell... Bloody, the transponder not working. And then they've gone to themselves, oh, fuck it. We'll just take the whole thing off. So then there's no timing. Like, there was no timing there. And then they put this other graph up that was timing on this side. I'm like, what is going on? Like,
MotoGP spec right there.
Yeah.
Maybe they got the MotoGP guys over to do it from Liberty Media.
That's what's happened. That is what's happened. But I'm thinking, what is going on? Like, this is just like I'm watching IndyCars here. This is the...
Oh, poor IndyCars getting thrown into this. Poor guys.
Bro.
Sorry, Jason.
I'm going to say Formula One is probably the biggest sport in the world now.
Bro, that's a... big
call. Like,
nah, it's not bigger than soccer. You're crazy. But,
yeah, okay, fair enough. Probably not bigger than soccer, but it's probably top three biggest sports in the world.
Well, you can... sorry, Americans, but we all know you're not the biggest sports.
Yeah.
It's... You're soccer, obviously. Number two, as in, like, fans... Are you thinking like fan coverage?
Yeah, I'm just thinking like viewership on a weekly basis. It is
not sporting event because like the Olympics is up there.
Well, Olympics is up there. Tour de France is up there every year as well. That's one of the most watched sporting events.
I would say it's top three. I'd say soccer is definitely number one. I would actually probably say, and it's not as a worldwide basis, but cricket. Is up there. And I know cricket's up there because of all the billion Indians.
Yeah, it's like, true.
You put LeBron James's Instagram profile against Virat Kohli. Virat Kohli's got like 20 million.
Yeah, they're talking about it on a podcast once.
And LeBron James.
They're like, Virat Kohli. Who's Kohli?
Oh, it's like 800 million or something crazy.
They're like, look him up. He's like, what is this guy? Yeah. But obviously, money-wise, like lots of billions of dollars that is injected into that sport.
F1 would have to be... Yeah, you're probably right. Like, you know, it's gone into mainstream. Yeah. That's when you know it's the biggest.
I still remember being just a kid watching this sport and going to school on Monday and just not... Like, you know, like Schumacher winning in 2004 the championship, winning 7 championships in a row and then like going to the school and nobody talking about it. Not even being on the news, you know? And now it's like you go into work on a Monday and everyone's like, oh, Tommy, how's good as Piastri? Like half the dealerships watched it, you know? I got people at work watching it on their phones because they like woke up and watched it. Like it's incredible.
I would say on dating apps of chicks, 1 in 5 have a comment about Formula One.
Unbelievable.
Or a photo or something along those lines.
They've done an unbelievable job. Unbelievable. And good on them. Good on them.
Good on him, man. But let's just... I just want to reiterate that point. McLaren Bahrain conspiracy. Heard it here first.
You love that one, didn't
when
you?
When that documentary comes out in 25 years, they're going to come back to this episode.
Proven. It was actually the code was cracked on the Motorsport Republica podcast.
We'll be on the Netflix. We'll be on the Netflix episode. You know when like they sit you down all serious, but we'll be on a yacht in Monaco.
Love it. All right. Well, it's time for world famous, arguably world famous, our hot takes.
Arguably, definitely not arguably. It's world famous,
the
Tommy.
Biggest world hot takes podcast in the world.
That's a butchering right there.
I couldn't come up with anything better.
All right. This is your boy, and I picked this up for you. I put this one in for you. Your boy, Chris Sepps.
Seppsy. Oh, he's struggling. He's struggling. I'm not watching it from this day four. Not watching the MotoGP. Big Bag Nia fan, people listening.
VR46 cult fan, would you say?
Well, Rossi fan. Actually, kudos to Sepsi. He's actually stayed in the sport.
Nah, we love Sepsi. He has.
He's an Italian that is actually still watching the sport, which is great.
Yeah.
Because I've got Damiano.
He gets cooked every year.
He's got a house full of Rossi memorabilia. Doesn't know when the next MotoGP race is on. Go on.
We'll talk about that to the day we die.
What's bloody Curtis taking Snapchats over there? What are you doing?
Who are you messaging, Curtis?
Yeah. Jeepers. Go on.
I like it. Alex is more aggressive overtaking Pecco than Marc Marquez. It's not right and is an advantage to Marc Marquez. Now, this is pre-before the race.
Oh, that's a terrible take.
I'm sorry, Seps, you had to cook you on that one.
Oh, so funny.
I'm sure all our listeners know that Alex
Marquez. I do feel Alex goes a lot easier on Marc, though.
I agree.
Yeah, like he had that many opportunities to pass him in the main. Oh, that'd be the first five laps, and then the sprint race, and just didn't go for the move.
Definitely a sprint race.
Yeah,
definitely a sprint race. But I think he knows Marquez has.
He knows he's got
three tenths on him.
Yeah,
at all times.
Yeah,
he knows that. He says that. But I agree. I definitely agree. At Willie Nels, history favors mysterious appendage injury for MotoGP title. Your 2025 winner is Tom Shavulak. Referring to your finger that you can't tell us what you are, heard it on.
Oh, that's funny.
How's it going?
Willie Nels, yeah, it's still sore, bloody hell. He's very articulate, Willie Nels.
Amazingly articulate.
Yeah, he's got a brain that just works a bit differently.
And I would say an early leader for number one contender.
Yeah, look, we're going to put the flag out for Willie Nels. He's early contender for, what are we calling
number
it this
one
year?
Contender.
Number one ticket holder.
Ticket holder. Sorry.
Yeah, it's called Papa won it last. You can't win it 2 years in a row. Don't tell Papa that. That girl's going to get him keep working for us. But yeah, so anyone, it's up for grabs. It's up for grabs. Yeah. But yeah, Nelson's going to be hard to beat.
Yeah, got a few guys. Drayson. He's up there from North Carolina.
North Carolina.
He's up there.
God, I got to send him a merch pack, but it might be a bit more expensive send it to North Carolina. No, I'm joking. It doesn't matter.
Fly to Melbourne. We'll hand deliver it to you. Come for a beer, you dog.
Yeah, come for a beer. Come for a Coors Light.
Yeah, we'll have a Coors Light with you. It's cold.
We'll get a message. Yo, I don't drink that shit. Budweiser.
Bud Light.
Bud Light. Is that still a thing? Is that cancelled?
No, they're back.
Oh, good.
I think they
hot chicks or something on the commercial. Cracking beers. Thank God. Go broke.
Kid Rock's back on it.
Oh, good.
It's cold, Papa. Between MotoGP and F1, whose merchandise do you guys usually prefer?
Oh, that's hard.
I would normally say Repsol Honda all day, every day.
We can't get that anymore.
I don't know. I don't really wear team merch anymore except for like some of the stuff we do on
the
pods.
No one really does wear team merch out anywhere in the public unless it's to the event.
F1 do. I see Piastri shirts everywhere now.
Little kids though.
Adults. They're autistic, but they're still adults.
Hats. I see a lot of Mercedes hats. McLaren hats. But yeah, like wearing polos around is not a thing, I don't think.
I don't know. For me, if I was going to probably choose one now.
Could you imagine wearing a fucking like factory Ducati Lenovo polo around to like the shops?
We saw someone wearing that at the motor show the other day.
Unbelievable. Go on.
I saw that. What would I wear? I would probably wear out of like this year's crop. I'll choose MotoGP because I'm a massive MotoGP fan. I'll go I'll go Golf Track House.
Yeah, it's a good call. I'd go Aston Martin for F1. I like nice. That color, the racing, British racing green.
I really like the Tommy Hilfiger Mercedes ones back in the day, though. They were neat. At Christian Cairns, who is your favorite for fraud of the year, Raul or Maverick? Neither. Marco Bezzecchi.
Yep.
Easy one. Hart _ Melbourne. Forced pit stops will take away the skill from drivers that are good on their tires.
That's a great point. And goes back to my point. Mandatory soft tire.
Yeah.
So you could start on the hard. You go still one stop and then go really fast at the end. Opposite to anything like that. That's where I reckon it's at. But we'll see.
I like it. I like it a lot. Again, could be he's a contender for number one ticket holder as well.
Always has a good hot take.
Melbourne always has a really, really good hot take. HG.Ava, Maximo Quiles is a future star of MotoGP. I completely agree. He had a great first race.
What's going on with him, but we don't know.
I know. I don't know.
Bloody, honestly, people listen to this podcast to find out this stuff. I don't know.
I haven't checked.
No, apologies for that.
But I think if you've got both Marquez brothers tutoring you, you're in line.
But he just took that photo, didn't he, with the Marquez brothers? Wasn't that just recent?
Nah, this last year I've seen him with them.
No, I'm saying like he didn't get injured like fucking racing with them or something, did he?
I don't think so.
Okay, that's fine. Just throwing shit out there.
That's fair enough. I like it. At Will Stone, 1995. Alex Marquez makes contact with two riders. Not like him. What do you guys think? I just think it was a mistake.
Yeah, I mean, no, if turn one was a mistake, you saw that onboard footage. Like his head is going to the right into that corner.
Yeah.
And Mark comes and sort of comes from the inside, which is just a normal turn one incident. Can't help that. But yeah, just misjudge that other corner. Well, really strange.
Had, messed up aero on his bike for Didier. And I'm not excusing it. But it's just a factor.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of an excuse it is, really.
Yeah.
But I think he just had a poor race, and people do.
Yeah, no, he mucked up. You can't caught in the air. You could make excuses all day of the week. But yeah, devastating for Didier because he finally was like sort of injury free and was going to look good for the race because he had some really good late race pace in the sprint race as well.
I put something up actually on our stories real quick that I was going to talk about. Where is it? Race direction, right? They had Jorge Martin injured on the side of the track and they don't stop the race.
Mm.
Yet they zoom in on Brad Binder hitting the green. Like, read that. Like, how does if there's a safety, I don't get race direction sometimes, as in they freak out about Brad Binder hitting the green on the last lap and they see that, but then how do they not see Jorge Martin clearly in a dangerous zone where someone could slide out and hit him and the marshals?
Yeah, as I said earlier in the pod, he was on the track for a long time. Like he was on the track for a solid two laps, I think.
Crazy.
Yeah, which is super unusual for them not to stop the race in that scenario.
They yellow flagged it, but still.
Because, bro, if you're coming off of that corner, you're coming towards him with all those marshals, he's defenseless.
200 k's an hour.
Yeah, it's plus. A fast corner. Yeah.
So that's just a weird thing from race direction. Maybe we should put them on fraud watch.
Big call. Yeah. We've got to be careful about it. Is that FIM or is that Dorna? Because Fran's coming after us.
I think it's FIM.
Mm.
Don't piss off Fran. No. At Aaron Prom, Marquez is just playing games with the rest of them. Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's not game. I mean, for lack of a better term, it's games. But he just got so much confidence at the moment that he can go, I can sit here in third. I can sit here in second. I got damage. That's cool. I'll still win.
Yeah.
And you got... That happened to Bagnaia. He got hit up the ass or something. Even if it happened to Martin, you know, he'd freak out. He'd crash.
Yeah.
It'd be something that's just, everything has to be perfect.
Yeah, 100%. I agree. Definitely agree. At xqueen _ Lily. The fuck have I just done here? At xqueen _ Lily. I'm really annoyed for the sanction of Maverick Vinales. 100% agree, which leads me on to Drayson Silva 87S, our boy D Silva. Alex Marquez hits Didier, kills his race, equals long lap penalty. Maverick Viñales, incorrect tire pressure, 16 seconds. The fuck?
Yeah.
Inconsistent again. That's not like...
Oh, I just don't understand this tire pressure, man. Like, I just don't get how... Why are they doing it such a fine line when they're... Like, the team, why are they going so close to the edge?
I don't... I'm not putting blame on the teams. I think it's just a bullshit Michelin build a better tire, like... Yeah, you can. Like, they've got tire pressure gauges on their dash, so they know.
Mm.
But obviously, when you're in a race situation, you know, who knows what you're looking at. But I think the question here is, how can Alex Marquez ruin someone else's race and only get a long lap? Where, you know, what has Mav and KTM really done? Where you get 16-second penalty? A 16-second penalty is worse than a long lap.
Oh, I definitely thought Marquez Alex variety. I definitely deserve a double long lap for that.
Yeah, or even I think a ride
through.
Yeah, double long lap, I think, is fine.
Yeah, because it was not a move like... It wasn't on. It was nowhere near on.
Yeah.
And yeah, it completely wrecked his race. And he was devastated after the race, obviously. So.
Obviously. Quiet on the... Atta boy, Republica rider special ed.
Hey, beautiful.
Quiet on the David Alonso hype front, thoughts so far this season.
Oh no. We're not there yet. He's injured. He's young. He's on the much bigger bike.
He's got Helgado doing well.
Yeah, but he's got had a really uninterrupted season. Let's not jump on that for another three rounds, I reckon.
I'm with you.
If he comes into res and not finishing at top 10, then we can start asking questions.
I'd say after Mugello. But yeah, it's a weird one because he was being injured. But, you know, he got 11th. It's better. He's getting there.
Yep.
B_Rothberg. Lando is cracking under the coolness of Oscar. By Monaco, there will be a clear divide.
Yeah, I think Lando's just going to get more and more frustrated, and Oscar's just going to be the same person. And it's probably going to frustrate him even more and more and more and more because he's so cool as a cucumber. So, yeah. I don't see a massive feud happening.
No.
I see some smart-ass comments in the press, that sort of thing, because that's what Lando's like. He's cracks it in the car and then hugs and shakes your hand afterwards.
Snake.
Yeah, like, the way Verstappen defended against him in Austria last year and then they collided and crashed and they were both out, whatever. And then after the race, they're laughing and carrying on and hugging. I'm like, bro, it's not the killer instinct like all these other champions.
We see it, mate. We definitely see it. At Matt Stevens, our boy, OG listener, Viñales wouldn't have been penalized if he unblocked you. That's one of a million messages. So thank you for that, Matty. Again,
I actually had the race control on on the wiretap, and I said, "Mate, I reckon there's tire pressure. Got to give him a check." I had a bit of a leaking rim in there. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's funny. Then you got Bahrain on the other blower going.
Yeah, what's going on there?
Cancel the red light. Cancel the red light.
I'm not going to say I picked it, but I half thought that Viñales let Marquez through.
Okay.
At that point in time in the race, because he sort of ran wide and it was like, he ran wide, but like he sort of didn't like feel like he outbroke himself. And then Marquez went through and then he stayed on his tail for a little while. So I'm thinking, does he have the tire pressure warning on the dash already? And he's gone into Marquez to get it down. Who knows?
So their tire pressure warning on the dash is all, the whole dash is up to the rider. Some people will just have like a warning to say you got to do something. Some people have the specific numbers.
Yeah, okay.
So it's just, you know, what they do with that information is on there.
And I'm sure the team would have gone, well, Viñales, you're not going to be out front. You're going to be in a pack. So they would have put the tire pressures and for tweaked sure, them like
exactly.
That.
Exactly. But that's just so bullshit. Let them race.
Yeah.
Again, at Adam Davies, just wanted to shout this one out. Thank you. Tire pressure rule is gay. Yes, it is. HG.Ava, again, thank you. 2025 is 100% Mark's year. I like it. Again, at Chris Shanken, 46, fuck the tire pressure rule. Off ruining the sport. Agree. Ed had, Martin is doing what Mark did in 2020. It's seriously going to hurt his career.
Yeah, it's interesting. Was that before or after the...
After.
Yeah. Yeah, it's it's just like it's in a different part of his body. That's the only thing.
I think it's more. Yeah,
if he re-injured his wrist, man, that's when you start being like, that's bad. Like, yeah. I've had fractured ribs, as you know, when we went motorbike.
Go on, tell a story.
Oh, I just missed the jump was about what, fucking 10 meters in the air. I was going. I tried to do a bit of a whip, and then I sort of over whipped, and then just came off, and then I think I cracked probably a couple of ribs. And I just remember thinking, like, I couldn't breathe. And it was like weeks later, I still was the same. Yeah, like, you just, and every, and you know what's crazy? Every time I sneeze now, I still wince because I'm wincing back then years ago.
I remember trying to get your bike out of the bush of crack ribs, and you did an amazing job. And like,
yes.
We rode it out, and then like, if we got to a log, then you're like, James, get it over the log. Like, it was just because you were cooked.
Yeah.
You know, you could hardly breathe.
Yeah, I said, because I said, oh, let's keep going. And I was like, and then I said, James, like, nah, I can't, I'm done. Oh, God, I still remember that pain. But yeah, that's it, eh?
Bro, what a massive weekend of racing. Yeah. Back to Europe, thank Christ, for MotoGP.
And Saudi Arabia this weekend, F1.
Oh, where are they going to steal the asphalt from?
I think the race is on about midnight, so it might just be... it's still going to be a late one, but we'll see.
It's better than watching all of F1 and MotoGP in the morning.
Yeah, man, too much. Well, thanks, guys. I really appreciate
listening. Yeah, thanks for listening.
We'll see you next week.
Thanks, guys.